ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's our final segment here with Jeremy Lyons. Now, Jeremy, you know, whenever you're on radio or in any kind of public speaking forum, there's normally things that you just sort of don't, that you sort of try not to mention because it's a little bit far out and you think people might think, you know, this guy might be a little, I mean, what he said so far is a little bit out there, but man, this just takes the cake. And I like to encourage people to give us those juicy nuggets of self-censored information. So if there's anything of that nature that you don't normally talk about on air or when you're discussing Sasquatch, are there any aspects like that you'd like to discuss, or have you just kind of opened the book?
Oh, gee, I feel like I'm on a psychiatrist's couch. No, for the most part, there's nothing about them that is you mean embarrassing like or just so far out, just so far, you know. It depends on somebody's threshold as to whether or not it's too far out or not, I guess.
Well, let's say something that's a little bit far out even for you, something that you have trouble processing.
Yeah, well, okay. Kiwani, you know, will tell me things, and there's things in his book that you have to wonder how much either his own experience or experience of other people, how much there might be a filtering going on of some sort where they're thinking they're receiving information telepathically, that the information is getting filtered and turned into a more personal reflection of their own self. You know, supposedly the Sasquatch seem to be, the ancient ones will tell people things about what's going on in their life. So as if they, because they're psychically endowed and have this an extrasensory perception and have information about their lives that they just wouldn't think a forest creature would have. And yet they even give advice, you know, like their personal love affairs or things like that. And when Kiwani tells me these things, I truly believe he's telling the truth and that these people are telling the truth. But is there some filtering going on? I have to question, just as from a scientific perspective, you know, because it is very far out. Things like, you know, an automobile might have some damage to it, but the Sasquatch were aware of it and they actually interceded psychically to help the automobile not have an accident or something like that. It seems very outrageous, but in a world of when you're living in a consciousness-based universe, you know, that perhaps that is the reality, and you don't have to have a three-dimensional materialistic rendition of reality in order to, you know, to do these things. And they actually have this ability because that's the world they live in. So, but it's far out, but only because it's hard for us to accept, because we live in it. We still have remnants of living in, or some people live totally in a materialistic world and a cause effect where everything's linear versus non-linear, and synchronicity. You know, what Jung, the kind of world that Carl Jung was describing, where it's, you know, it's shamanic as well.
So not entirely unsimilar. Like, it's kind of like not understanding the layout of somebody's house, for example. You know, like you walk into a house. Let's say you're somebody and you walk into a house and there's no TV, and you're like, well, where are you supposed to put your furniture? You know, they just don't know. They just don't understand because they've never seen a house without a television set. Is it something like that? Like we just don't kind of understand the makeup or the positioning or the motivations behind them, and through our inability to understand, because we've got our own reality that we're still trying to filter through and come to terms with ourselves, these things appear extremely confusing. And more to the point, when things are really confusing, people often get really angry.
Yeah, rejecting it. What kind of social structure they have is an enigma, and supposedly it seems that a likely candidate would would be a tribal model. They have councils among the tribes, and all very informal. You know, we were talking about the violence, and supposedly one of the stories related to somebody about what was going on among one of the tribes was that they had a member, a Sasquatch member, or here again, it may have been an ancient one, I'm not sure, can't remember, was very malevolent character, was killing regular human, our people, was just had a disposition to kill regular people, our human people, our people. And the other Sasquatch decided that this had to stop, and they actually killed him, this rogue ancient one. And so they have their own social ups and downs as well, it would seem, and their own structure to meet those problems.
You know? Well, one would say that they're probably not the be-all and end-all enlightened beings then, would they?
No, they have their ups days and down days and such. Yeah, but I think that they are different from us. I don't really have much evidence to go with this theory that I have, other than it just, to me, makes sense from what I've put together. The idea that they think logarithmically, we think arithmetically, and therefore they may be more practiced at understanding the makeup of the universe, because the universe is logarithmic. And for whatever reason, we don't have hair, can't survive out in the wild, and are forced to use our technology to survive, starting with fire and working our way up to automobiles and agriculture and so on. For whatever reason, we like that, until we can cross the threshold and understand the universe in our own way. Perhaps they can give a clue as to what we're missing.
So in your opinion, and we're coming almost to the end of the show, what is it, do you think, that humanity's missing that the ancient ones might be able to give us?
Well, that view of looking at the world mathematically in the terms of logarithms, you know, and a conscious base, you know, we're stuck in this thinking of the world as being a materialistic, reductive materialistic. That's our official party line. That's the line academia takes. That's why we have a Darwinian theory of the origin of life being this astronomically fortunate, fortuitous combination of amino acids that brings life. But when you look at the odds against that, it's just so far out that so many scientists have jumped ship. Even, you know, the physicist John Wheeler long ago said it's a conscious-based universe. Francis Crick doesn't believe in evolution. He believes in panspermia because he couldn't buy into the odds. Of course, that's panspermia is just kind of like transferring it to another arena, but he had to reject the idea of it being generated by chance, because amino acids are so many different combinations that, you know, the number theory just doesn't work out. And so that paradigm needs to be dropped, because it's not life didn't come from happenstance like that so much. Maybe it came from happenstance, but it didn't come from a materialistic happenstance. It's, a conscious-based solution would be, you know, we're looking on the wrong side of the street for our keys, you know. Like you lose your car keys and you look for them under the streetlight, but when you've lost them on the other side of the street and where it's dark, but you're looking on underneath the streetlight because the light's better. Well, that's kind of like what we're doing. We can see better with a materialistic, we're comfortable with a materialistic view, and we want to look in that materialistic view, but the keys are actually in the darker side of the conscious-based universe, of which we don't know hardly anything about. We don't have even got a good definition of consciousness, other than like the one for pornography, where we don't know what it is, but we know it when we see it, kind of thing. But there's so many good examples of occurrences that show that if you can give one good example of consciousness surviving the brain, then you kind of like throw out the whole materialistic view. And there's so many good examples of the body surviving the brain. It's, you know, like Rupert Sheldrake works on proving this so much that once you do accept the idea that consciousness can survive outside the body, then you kick out the supports of a materialistic view, and you have to by default go to a consciousness-based universe view, and from there the sky is the limit in terms of, you know, what's possible. And the Sasquatch kind of show what's possible. The ancient ones show what's possible in dimensional travel form. That would be interesting. So.
It would be nice not to be stuck in traffic ever again, you know, like, I've got to go to my mate's place and it's rush hour and it'll take me 3 hours to get there. You know what? I think I might just astral travel this one. Hey, bro, how's it going? Oh, it's all good, man.
Yeah. Did you see today on the BBC they had a thing about a bicycle where your bicycle can fly?
I didn't.
They showed it off at the BBC studios today. Somebody's invented a bicycle. It's got a powered fan on it. It can go up to 4,000 feet for 30 minutes. So you can bypass traffic if you can get a FAA certification or whatever. But that's the way we approach, you know, rather than astrally, we approach things mechanically. But that's our lot. So to the stars we go.
Well, you know, something tells me that we're incredibly limited when we look at things in that way, whereas consciousness in the universe is infinite.
Yeah.
And vastly superior in terms of that way. Jeremy Lyons, thank you very much for your time today, and I hope you have a fabulous life. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Vinny. I enjoyed it immensely.
See you again sometime.
Take care. Bye.